Our second reading today comes from Psalms 40, 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who made the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. No one can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted.
Hi. I'm not really good at public speaking, so this is going to be the longest 3 minutes and 43 seconds of my life. Anyway, story time with Caroline. Let's start. About 2 or 3 months ago, my mom picks me up from school and announces to me that Anna McKelvey is applying to Galloway. And I freaked out. I mean, I lost it. Anna and I met before I can remember meeting her, and we went to school together in elementary school and pre-K for 8 years. And imagine us going to high school together and graduating after 3 years apart. So Anna started going to open houses and tours, and I caught her in the hallway once or twice, and my heart felt like a bass drum. Every day that drew near to her finding out if she got in, my heart rate just tripled until it just blurred into one big meh. I sat up at night hoping and praying that she would get in. Oh, God, she has to. Just please, I'll repent, I swear. So on and so forth. So skip forward about a month, and my family is at the Brannon's house for dinner. And this is the night where Anna's supposed to get a letter or a box in the mail if she got in. And I'm checking my phone and my mom's phone constantly, hoping for something, some news. And they say no news is good news. That's not really true. And I asked my mom if she had heard anything. She said they didn't get anything in the mail. They didn't get in. I was crushed. I had prayed and hoped and prayed some more and nothing. Now, my mom went on to say everything happens for a reason, so on and so forth, and that wasn't really helping. So we go home, and I go to sleep, and I wake up the next morning to my sister screaming, "They got in! They got in!" All three McKelvey kids had gotten into Galloway. Thanks, Mom. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Now, I'm not a very patient person. Waiting for things to happen is not my strong suit. As those at my barn like to say, I have to put on my patience pants. Waiting to see if Anna got into Galloway nearly killed me. But I suppose what the Bible or God or whatever is trying to say is that good things come to those who wait. Listen to the first two lines of Psalm 40, for example. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. There's the part I have trouble with, that first part. I waited patiently. No, when I pray, I want immediate results, but that doesn't happen. God didn't come when I wanted to on that night at the Brannon's. He takes time, and all I can do is wait patiently. In a way, God gave me more than my best friend. He gave me a life lesson on a life necessity, patience.
Okay. I am scared of many things. My first day of high school next year, doing something embarrassing in front of this congregation, like delivering a dud of a sermon, disappointing my parents by bringing home a 40 on a math test, and the upcoming presidential election. Fear is an interesting emotion. It is described as the feeling of danger, threat, or the unknown. God wants us to fear him. Why in the world would the Father Almighty, who loves and forgives everyone, have us fear him? At first, it does seem strange that we should fear God. Every week in Sunday school, we hear stories of how God loves us and forgives us, but fear him? But the fear of God is a good thing. He has this astonishing power that scares us just enough to let us realize that He, and He only, is the most powerful, unimaginable God. I am in eighth grade at Inman Middle School. On the first day of school, all of my teachers assigned so much homework and so many essays, my entire grade was shocked and mortified for the year to come. The next day, we came to school with a different attitude. We were more prepared and respectful of our teachers after knowing their power and control over our very, very, very precious after-school social hours. Looking back, I know my teachers wouldn't have had the same level of respect they have now if they didn't scare us with their power. God does so many astonishing things in the Bible. He heals, He teaches, He parts seas. When He does these miraculous acts, He leaves His followers in shock, just as I was left in shock after hearing about the amount of work I was asked to do, but of course on a much smaller level. I guess what I'm trying to say is that God is love. We love God. We are raised to love God more than anything in the world. But we fear is His strength and power and punishment, an overwhelming amount of faith we have stored in God for as long as we can remember. Another example is I love my parents, Rachel and Duncan Spears, so much, but I fear their power over me and their... and disappointing them. This is another reason why we fear God. It is the fear of disappointment. I recently went through confirmation class here at church. I learned a lot, but with what I learned came this gradual realization that I have to be great. I have to make sure I do my best for God. The fear of disappointment was intense. Then I found out that the fear of not doing our best for God is what makes us do better. People try harder when they have something worth trying for. The point of this sermon was to allow the congregation to realize that God will scare you. He will scare all of you. But one thing to remember is that the fear only helps. So in a weird, ironic way, His fear is nothing to be scared of. Take in the responsibility and use the power it drives you with to do something for God. The fear of God is strong. This is true. But what is stronger is the love and understanding that the fear placed on God is helpful and needed. The fear of God is not the feeling of danger, threat, or the unknown. It is the knowledge of knowing how we should live our lives and the responsibility we have to live good and holy lives, to live good and holy lives to please God. And of course, my parents.
Hi. Recently, I have been going through many changes, and as well as many of the other people here today. And my changes consist of going to a brand new school, moving into two new homes, and leaving all the friends that I have made from the past 3 years behind. Though I know that it's a great school and that I'm going to live in a great home, I still am going to miss being here and just participating with all my friends and everything. It's been difficult to think about the future and where that's going to take me, as it is for everyone when someone's going through a new change. But God, He will always find the right path for you, no matter whether it's going to a new school or moving to a new home, anything. My friend, her name is Matilda. She moves almost every 2 or 3 years, and it's not like just moving homes; it's moving to new states every 3 years. So she has a lot of experience making new friends. She was giving me a pep talk about going to a new school and how it's all going to be okay, how I'm going to make plenty of friends, and everything will be okay. Everyone goes through changes. Every one of you in this church goes through changes. And everything will be okay. In Psalm, it says that he turned to me and heard my cry. He's hearing all of your cries, all of them, and he's going to answer them. He's going to put you where you need to be, whether it's where you want to be. He has a lot of things planned for us, many, many things planned for us. And just because it's not necessarily what you had in mind doesn't mean it's not a great place to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.